This week, we talk about guys pursuing girls, questions to ask before you get engaged, and all around transitioning in your 20s. Hang out with us, subscribe on iTunes, and live tweet with us as you listen with the hashtag Jeff and Alyssa. How's it going, guys? I'm Jeff.
I'm Alyssa.
And welcome to Anything and Everything, an up-close and personal look into the lives of two married people who talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. The reason I'm laughing is, are you okay? It sounded like you just started sniffing something, like something smells or...
Oh, sorry. I'm just a little stuffed up.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay, I was like, does something smell while I'm doing the intro?
I forgot I was being
recorded. When I have my headphones in so I can like hear really almost like supersonic hearing.
Oh, sorry. It's been a day.
Well, it's been a good day though, wouldn't you say?
No, a great day. I'm just ready to go to bed.
Yeah. See, guys, we usually do this when you have a 1 year old, which she's turning exactly 1 year in 2 days. Well, actually 1 day when you start listening to this because it comes out May 14th. Her birthday is May 15th. Then there's really not very many opportunities to get a podcast in. So we always do it right when we lay her down. But also when you have a 1 year old, you feel kind of like an old person because by the time you lay them down at 7 or 8, you feel like you're ready to pass out too. So if you're a parent, hit us up on the hashtag Jeff and Alyssa and just say you're with us. Say you know what it's like so that we don't feel alone like we're old people also.
Well, yeah. We're also on Washington time. So technically, it's 11 p.m.
That's true. Well, we can tell them about that for a sec. So we had a great, great last week. I don't want to totally give it away. If you're listening to the podcast, that means our new vlog is up. I'm going to try to start doing vlogs and family vlogs of us on my YouTube channel every single Thursday. So every Thursday, I'll be a new podcast, new vlog. So if you want to hear see a bigger recap of that week, go ahead and check that out. youtube.com/bball1989, which I don't know if I've told you guys, that was my old AIM screen name and I'm stuck with it now because you can't really change your YouTube name. Anyways, if you want to go check out a recap, check that out. But besides that, we can give them a quick rundown. I mean, we had a blast. It's always fun because I was in Portland for seminary. I'm going to Western Seminary, which is a great seminary, and I go there once a month. It's like distance learning, so I only am in person 1 day a month, and the rest is reading and online and stuff like that. And I was in town, and I thought I would bring Alyssa with me and Kinsley because it would just be fun, and it's the kind of right around Kinsley's birthday, so we thought she would come with me. Oops, that was me just clinking my glass with my ring. And so we thought you would come with us, you guys would come with us so that we could celebrate Kinsley's birthday with family and friends back home. Mm-hmm. So it was a blast.
It was so fun.
Yeah, so we did Portland and that was where we did our honeymoon, which everyone thinks that's hilarious because people go to Cabo and all that.
Well, we did Cancun.
We did go to Cancun. We did 1 week in Portland, 1 week in Cancun for our honeymoon because we love like metropolis city type things. And Portland is one of our favorite cities in the world. Growing up in the Northwest, we are pretty familiar with it and we love it. What?
I love Portland, but it's so weird.
It is. Give them a few rundowns of why it's weird. First, give them the dog one. Second, because I didn't include that in the vlog. And then second.
Well, I need a vlog about
it. Yeah, and then second, we can go PG-13 rated and give them the other one.
All right. Well, this will be in a blog one day very soon. But the last day we were there, we were getting breakfast, and it was like a 30-minute wait. So we decided to walk down to the farmer's market, which we didn't quite make it to the market because when we got there, they were having a doggy dash, which apparently everyone in Portland who owns a dog goes to this.
I mean, it was kind of insane. We're talking thousands of people with their dog, and the race hadn't started yet or something. So basically, they were all standing there in the street
like
waiting for
races.
The
races. Yeah, they all just, take turns.
Exactly. But they were just getting ready for the person to say go. So it's just like 3,000 people standing with a dog in the street and more people at like all the booths.
Yeah. And they all have their like marathon runner number on, yep. And they're all wearing costumes and masks.
That's Portland.
There's this one little dog who an old lady owned, and she was waiting in line to race, and the dog was, it was like a, what was it again, a white,
it was like a bulldog or a pug, I couldn't tell.
Yeah, and it
kind
was
kind of
in
a squishy faced dog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She had the dog in a red wagon, and the red wagon had a little green chair for the dog to sit in, and the dog had a curly brown wig with a hat.
No
and
joke. I don't know how it stayed on. How do you get a wig on a dog?
I don't know. And then a pink bikini top and a little pink skirt.
and you can imagine a bulldog face, too, where it's kind of look like no matter what they do, they just look really mad, like, because they're kind of like frowny face. Yeah.
Hey, Grandma, why am I like this?
Oh, my goodness.
Why'd you put a wig on me and a bikini bottom?
Guys, I don't know if this is coming across that funny on audio, but it's hilarious. Alyssa's trying to make a dog face while she's singing.
You have to put your upper lip by your lower lip.
Okay, that was a different voice. You just did two different voices. First of all, you did a dog voice, and all of a sudden you just showed up almost like in London and Australia.
The best part is when the race started, she started to pull the dog and the dog almost fell out, so she had to go so slow.
Yeah, she kind of like was ready to win, so she like started hustling, but then like the inertia or whatever basically just pulled the dog almost over, so then she had to slow down.
Oh, it was
so that was one of the first weird things.
There were dogs in tutus.
Yeah, give them the PG-13 rated thing.
Well, the first morning Jeff was at seminary, I decided to walk down to the waterfront with Kinsley. It was a beautiful sunny day. I got my
it was like 80 amazing, in Portland.
Yeah, I got my amazing barista coffee with almond milk.
Yeah, it's one of our favorite coffee shops in the world. If you go to Portland, Stumptown's great. All these places are great, but our favorite, I really like at least, Barista, and Cove is really good too, but yes.
Yes. However, Barista's a little...
Well, they're all like that in Portland, what you're about to say.
What's the word?
They're just a little like...
Snooty?
Yeah, that's a good way to put
it. Snooty, and there weren't any tables, so you can't go and sit.
Yeah, like they have no...
They want you to come in and get out, though,
because that's what the culture they're trying to create. Like, so Barista is like, their business is high-end coffee, so they don't even have Wi-Fi, because they do not want you to stay. They want you to enjoy...
Don't you want to, like, sit and enjoy your coffee?
I mean, yes, but they just want you to be all about the coffee. They don't want you to be what do you call those? Squatters or nothing like that, yeah.
Well...
Anyways, we got your Barista.
It's really good. So I walked down to the waterfront. And on my way by the waterfront, I saw a man. Granted, this is like 9:30 a.m.
Yeah, that's a good point. 9:30 a.m. It's not nighttime on a weekend.
Sunbathing, and he had a pink sequined.
What's sequin?
Sequins.
What's that?
It's like the little sparkly beads.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like the little fake plastic diamond.
Women's G-string bikini bottom on. And you know you could see all of his...
We're keeping it PG-13.
And he had a matching hot pink cap on that was bedazzled.
So he was matching.
And he was just standing for all the world to see his glory. Which I don't know if I would call it glory.
Well, the best part is that oh man, I'm absolutely dying. The best part is that that's normal in Portland.
Yeah.
Like that. And that's why we love Portland is if you actually go to Portland and you go to Voodoo Donuts, which is a staple of Portland, right across the street is like
don't
huge.
Don't bring your kids.
To where?
Voodoo Donuts.
It's not bad.
It's a little risque.
No, it's not bad. Well, okay, maybe it is. Okay, I don't want someone to go and be like, Jeff said it's not that bad. It's just, yeah.
Just warning you people.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Good tasting though.
Yeah, it's amazing donuts.
Sorry, I feel like this podcast suddenly went very sour.
We already said Portland's our favorite city in the world. But across the street, there's a sign that says Keep Portland Weird, which I love. That's what makes Portland, Portland.
People, okay, I need to know. Isn't that the motto
hashtag
for
Jeff
Austin,
and Alyssa.
Texas?
Oh, yeah. So we had a debate. Alyssa thinks that Austin, Texas has the motto or the name
keep
tag
Austin
or whatever
weird.
Is Keep Austin Weird, which I don't know if it is or not, but Portland is the owner of that. So I don't care if Austin even does.
Well,
I don't think they do.
I just want to know, hashtag Jeff and Alyssa, tell us if it is. Or if I'm just totally mistaken.
Either way, I think even if it is, Portland is the winner.
Well, even if they
that.
Do, then it should be hashtag, or I mean, it should be Portland is the weirdest.
Yeah, exactly. Keep Austin weird, but Portland is weirder. That's what it should be.
Portland always wins.
Exactly. But so we did that, and that was really fun. We stayed at the same hotel we did our honeymoon at for a day or two just to make kind of like a special time out of it. And then...
We took the train.
Oh, yeah, we took the train. I felt like I was in 1920, what do they call that? Conductor all coming through with his hat, clicking our ticket. It was just hilarious. It felt super old, but it was amazing.
I loved it.
Yeah, I feel like we were in the 20s. Felt like we were in black and white. I was like, oh, Pleasantville, what up? But yeah, and it was beautiful and amazing. Train is a lost art. If you have opportunity to travel by train. Now, Europe, it's a totally different thing. Europe, when it's like, or subway, like when it's packed, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like where you're going like across the country or across whatever, or across like a long scheme of an area. So you kind of have one of those more comfortable trains.
Remember that train we took from like, what was it? Rome?
Oh, yeah, or in Italy?
And didn't it go super fast? Like 90 miles per hour or something?
I think even faster than that. I think that's pretty normal, I think.
It was like a really long one.
Yeah, that one was, yeah. Yeah, that
180
one
miles per hour?
Maybe, yeah. That one was legit, though, yeah. Europe definitely travels a lot more by train, so they can do all that.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. It's all in the vlog.
Not totally. That's why I say we were the Portland part, but not the stories you just told. Because I don't want to double up, you know. So if you want to, if you want to hear the stuff we didn't say, I'll let you boy at the vlog.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say we celebrate Kinsley's first birthday with all our
family. Yeah, so we went. That's what we're getting to. We went home. We celebrated birth,
and it was so fun. It was like the funnest birthday I've ever been to. I don't know. Just giving your child a birthday party is like. I can't even describe it.
It was really fun.
It was way funner than anything I've ever done.
Yeah. Well, even just, I mean, not to over-spiritualize it, but it really is a true fact of the matter that, when you have a kid, you're reminded that, like, God takes delight when you take delight. Like, God doesn't get glory when we just, like, hatefully obey him or submit to him and do all the rules, even though we don't like him or think he's a big, begrudging, you know, old guy in the sky. But he really enjoys when we're enjoying him or enjoying, you know, like, life in its proper context. And I just realized that with Kinsley, man. Like, when you see, when she smiles, I smile. When there's joy, I have joy. And it's just like, man, it's such a blessing. And that giving is better than receiving and all that stuff. Like, you just see it with kids. It just is like so like obvious that, oh my goodness, this is exactly what God's heart is for us. And it just totally explodes in the sense of you realize how much grace and beauty and delight he has in us and for us and all that. So it was really amazing. But it was a really fun party. We kept it kind of small, just family and friends, mostly family, a few friends, and, you know, opened a few presents, had cake. I don't know. I mean,
take birthday pictures.
Oh my goodness. So I don't know. There's no way to really translate the picture from a podcast to like for you guys to see it. But there was someone took a picture and it was like, and it said, what did it say? Like, this is what it looks like to have someone's first birthday party or something. And it was a picture of all, you know, the grandparents and aunt and uncle and all that stuff, like, and friends, like, all taking a picture of Kinsley. Like, it just looked hilarious because it was like,
who did that?
It was Susan.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was Susan. If you're listening to this, you are awesome. And that picture is like literally one of my highlights of the birthday because I just absolutely died that it, like, basically, like, she didn't take a picture of Kinsley. She took a picture and said, this is what it looks like when someone turns one. And it was a picture of everyone in the room having their phones pointed towards Kinsley. So it was like eight people taking a picture. And
it just like paparazzi.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It just looked hilarious. So, Susan, that was hilarious. Thank you for grabbing that picture. Yeah, but it was an absolute blast. And then we hopped up on a plane yesterday and came back to Maui. And it feels really good to be back here. Man, the Sundo. D-O-E. D-O-E? Yeah, Sundo. Amazing. I missed it. I missed the water. I missed
the
sun.
You might want to break that down for the older listeners.
Sun Doge is just basically, I'm just saying like the sun, though, you know.
It's like gang. It's like slang.
It's gang? I think you mean, yeah, you mean slang. Slang.
It's late. Wow, I'm tired. More tired than I realized.
Oh, yeah. I love you. But yeah, so today was great. Do you want to tell them about today or what? Or should we just get to question and answer?
I think we should just skip ahead.
Okay. Today was amazing, y'all. That's all we're going to say. And that's all y'all need to know. Ba-dum-tsh. So we got really good questions. These are all some questions from last week because we had so many good questions last week, but we only answered a couple. The first one I wanted to answer is actually the most I asked for questions on both Twitter and Facebook. This was, I think, one of the most liked like responses ever in the history of us asking for questions. It was from Caitlin Swecker. She said, how do you tell a guy you like him in order for him to pursue you correctly without you doing the pursuing? And she said, from a girl's perspective, obviously. And that comment got 15 likes. There was another person below it that said, said yes.
Girl, another girl I said, hear ya.
Another girl said, yes, the struggle for the Christian girl, LOL.
It's true.
And basically like a bunch of people were just like, it got upvoted to the top one. So, I mean, what do you, want to start on that one? Yeah, you got nugs.
I think you should start.
You got nugs, girl. I miss nugs. I haven't dropped the word nugs in a hot minute on the podcast. You don't want to drop nugs?
No.
Okay, what I would say.
Sounds like you're dropping something else.
Whoa. This is what happens when we record podcasts late at night.
Sorry, everyone. Just forgive my mouth.
And if you don't know what she's talking about right there, she's talking about someone going to the bathroom. Anyways, now she has her head in her lap because she can't believe that her basically after 8 p.m. y'all, and if after you have a full day with a baby, filter's gone. Hashtag filter's gone.
And you also trip over your words.
Yeah, But
yeah. Anyway,
what was it, Caitlin?
Okay,
yeah,
so Caitlin. What would you say? This is good. I think she wants your perspective because girls want to know what the guys have to say.
No, and I think you can be really helpful in it because you've walked through something like that and then came out on the other side. There's light. There's glory at the end of the tunnel. Caitlin, I would say that's a really good question. Now, there's a lot of nuance to there, and so I can't totally answer in all the nuance. One thing I will say is we're going to talk a lot about this in our newest book. you guys will probably forget this because it's like 2 years away, because that's just how slow the book publishing industry is. But me and Alyssa are writing a book together on relationships, dating, sexuality, marriage, whatever you want to call it, all that put into one. And it'll, we turn it in next year. And so it'll come in next fall. So I think, what is that? 2017, basically. Anyways, so if you want a nuanced answer, you got to wait 2 years. If
so
you
pretty want much some of these listeners could be married and have children
exactly,
by then.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But if you want a quicker answer, what I would say is I don't think it's as easy as just like the Pleasantville 1950s. The girl just sits there and the guy just is like, just I think the portrayals. I heard it good at a conference the other day. It said, she said, what was it? God created male and female. So there's distinction there. God created us wired and different, and there's male and female. She goes, but largely, the person at the conference said, but largely our culture has defined masculinity and femininity. And what she meant by that is just saying like, don't, yes, there's distinctions between men and women. Yes, there's a beauty of that. Yes, God has brought glory when we celebrate those distinctions as others and then, but yet equal. But don't settle for just like, I think sometimes in the Christian church, we can settle for the kind of Pleasantville, very, reductionistic, generalized roles of men, man and woman. Now with all that being said, I do think for the most part that the guy should kind of have this initial kind of pushing or this initial kind of, momentum start or beginning in that pursuing. But I also do think it's a dance. I think it does go back and forth a little bit. Now, I get what you're saying. So what I would say is I think, yeah, the beginning, the momentum is started by the man, I think. I think that is the initial pursuit, the initial push, and that kind of creates a beautiful rhythm and dynamic in the relationship. What I would say, though, is you want to talk?
No, I'm just telling you to put the mic to your lips.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was starting to scoot back a lot of it.
You're
yeah,
getting into it.
Yeah, because I was getting all preachy. So if I was starting to fade away, which I'll listen to in the post audio, we will hear that. Thank you. Thank you. Alyssa was giving me sign language. But what I would say is, that's just a tough one. But I would say, don't be afraid to be honest. Don't be afraid to, here's another way I put it, or I've heard it put is, don't drive the car and maybe don't tell the guy, you know, whatever, but
don't tell the guy.
Yeah, but put yourself in the road so he either has to run you over or go around you. Like basically, so he has to notice you, so you has to take account, so that there has to kind of be a thought in his head of, oh, is there something going on here? And then he can initiate upon that. So put yourself in the road, let him run over you or go around you. I don't know if that's the easiest way to put it, but hopefully if you know what I'm trying to say with that.
What do you mean by put yourself in the road? Is there like a practical...
Yeah, I think like put yourself, I don't know the situation in if Caitlin has an exact example or she's asking for the future or other people listening have an example, but I think just, not pursuing a guy is not synonymous with being passive. I think you can
doesn't mean you stay in your pajamas on Friday night watching TV.
Exactly.
That's not going to do anything for you.
Exactly. I think you can be passive and not pursuing are not the same thing. So you can be not pursuing a guy while still being active in somehow creating like sparks or creating relationships to cross paths. That's what I'm trying to say. And then the guy will pursue it or not pursue it. And so,
so kind of know like what he does, where he's at. I mean, not stalkerish at
all. Yeah, exactly.
But, like,
don't stalk him.
For instance,
but...
if, he plays on the baseball team at college, like you can go watch a game, or if he's,
like don't be afraid to kind of drop hints in the sense of putting yourself around him.
Yeah.
And then it'll happen or it won't. And so I think that's, and don't be bummed or whatever. I think that's the dynamic that you want to start creating. And so if it's there, then that's great. And if it's not, then God has someone better for you. And so.
And I think the thing to remember is that if a guy is really interested in you, he's going to go after you. No matter what his personality is, no matter if he's an introvert or more timid about things, if it's the right time and he's into you, he's going to go for you. So what Jeff's saying, like, put yourself, around him, like, not on the couch on Friday nights by yourself. But
hey, if you want to do that, And you, yeah, if he goes to church at 11, you want to watch Heart of Dixie, you do that.
Oh, but if he goes to 11 o'clock service at church, you go to the 11 o'clock service at church.
There we go. I was trying to get to practicals,
you know?
Too, but yeah, there we go. That's good. And then if it's there, it's there. And if not, and do that for a season. Don't do that forever.
He will pursue. He will be the one to ask you out to coffee or ask you out for dinner or ask you to go see a movie with a group of people. Like, you know, just be friendly. Don't avoid him. I think for me and some of my girlfriends, I know in the past, if somebody I thought liked me or whatever, I would just, and I didn't know what to do with myself, I'd run and hide in the girl's bathroom or, or whatever. Don't do that. Just, you know, be available.
Exactly. And the reason why you want to do that kind of dance, and it's a dance. I think that's the best way to think about it. There's like a reciprocation that goes on when it's healthy and when it's right. And there's a dance that goes on, but you also don't want to do way on the other end of the spectrum where you're just like overbearing or stalking or just going really intense, because then that sets up a poor dynamic for the relationship. You know, it's like, to some degree, guys are a little bit lazier than girls. That's totally a generalization, but I mean in a little bit of a disposition, meaning if something's happening that's great, we won't do anything usually to want to change that. And so if a girl is fully doing everything and pursuing us and we just get to sit there and do nothing and basically enjoy it all, we probably won't change and just say, this is great, you know, and we'll do that all the way into marriage. Now, ladies, do you want that? Do you want a guy who basically you babysit your whole life rather than someone who, you know, like I said, gets back into that dance dynamic where it's beautiful and it grows both of you and it's healthy and you have a vision for marriage and relationships and all that stuff. So that's what I would say on that. I don't know. Do you have anything? Yeah. What are you going to say?
Yeah. And I just think the heart of it is really believing that God's in control and that he can move in that guy's heart to pursue you if that's what he wants, you know? And I think a lot of times as girls, we want to take the reins and take control. And so, I think it's a real opportunity to have faith and trust.
Yeah, that's a good
God
point too. Don't forsake
work.
That part of the season. Yeah.
Yeah. And God works in the guy's hearts too.
In the same way
pursue.
God grows guys to risk, I think sometimes he can grow women sometimes to kind of be patient and wait. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those are two different things that can stretch both of us. That's really good. See, you said you weren't going to drop nugs and then you go over here just dropping nugs. Okay. This one just leads really well into the next question. Kayla Smith asked, what are some good questions to ask in a relationship before engagement or taking the next step? We've had someone similar like that, like what should we ask before marriage or whatever, but that's a great question, because once you get engaged, that really is saying like, I want to get married, this is for life, and let's do this. So what are some great questions to ask in a relationship before engagement or taking a next step? For me, I mean, make sure that your relationship is not surface level, meaning if you don't know the depths of the depths, I can't say that word, of that person, then man, you really got to even stay in that for a while, I think, before engagement's even thought of. Meaning what's their, it's really hard too, because you don't want to get super heartstrings attached before, you know, it's final. But at the same time, you can totally do that in a healthy way, right? If you guys are totally, you know, living and dating and in a relationship in a healthy way, and it's in community and it's great and you're honoring one another, then yeah, you can have really strong hard conversations about, hey, what are some sins that you really struggle with? Or what's your vision for marriage? Where do you want to go? 20, 30 years married, what do you want to look back and see it like? What's like the hardest part you ever share with someone in like a small group setting? It's usually sometimes when it will happen in a church or community setting. I don't know. Any of those questions are kind of basic and just off the top of the head, but I feel like you have to know the depths of a person. You really got to know them. You got to know kind of their frailties, their struggles, their hurts, the deepest fears, stuff like that before you really want to jump into that, because marriage is a partnership and a relationship and a dynamic. And so, yeah, that those will greatly affect once you get married. I don't know. What would you say?
Those are good. I think two things that come to my head too is you definitely should talk through each other's past, what you've
done. Yeah, that's kind of what I was leading to, but yeah.
Yeah, what you've done, what's been done to you. And I don't necessarily think that you need to go into great detail yet.
Totally
I think
great,
that's
yeah.
more in the engagement. Mm-hmm. But definitely getting like a good overall view of it.
That's a good point. Yeah. Stay surface level to some degree, or no, high, like 30,000 foot. That's a better way to put it. Stay 30,000 foot with that stuff. And then maybe go down on the ground in engagement, but yeah, you definitely have to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then also, a big one I would think of is for girls, well, and guys, I guess, is really talk about porn. When was the last time you watched it? How long, you know, just were you ever addicted?
Yeah, sadly,
those things need to be talked about.
In 2015, it's sad, but that issue is ubiquitous. That issue is absolutely pervasive. It's in, I mean, I can't tell you how many emails me and Alyssa get. Like, that's just the issue. I mean, that's just, I don't get an email on basically anything else. You know, it's a shock if I get an email that in the subject line says, you know, help or questions or, you know, I need advice. And it's not something in that regard. It's just usually, that's usually stuff that everyone's dealing with. And it's not certainly a guy only issue, but it's pretty obvious that it's a guy majority issue. So both need to deal with that and wrestle mm-hmm. with that. But I definitely think for the girls, for the most part, you really got to ask that hard question. You really got to tell them to shoot you straight. You really got to be able to ask it boldly. You got to ask specific. I think you do. You got to say, hey,
when was the last time you watched
it? Yeah, when was the last time? How much do you struggle with this? What does it look like? Get me into that, the brain of yours of, man, what is this? How long has it been going back? Stuff like that. And that's really tough conversations, especially if maybe you, at the end of it, you say, you know, after some prayer, you say, you know, I think, you know, this maybe isn't the relationship that we should be in, or, you know, go separate ways. That's tough. But believe me, you want
so much better than getting into a marriage and regretting it.
You want to always do the harder thing then, so that it's not even more hard if something surfaces that you didn't want to address or just maybe had no idea to address. So yeah, that's a really good question. I don't even know if that was in the realm that you were asking, but hopefully anyone who's in that situation can hopefully relate to that. I don't know. Anything else you'd add to that?
No, I think, I mean, talk about kids and where you want to live and all that stuff.
Yeah. And make sure they like Back to the Future. If they don't like Back to the Future, then I don't know.
Some of our listeners don't even know what that is.
Oh, my goodness. Best movie of all time. Marty McFly, 1.21 gigawatts. Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads. Hey, kid, what's with the life preserver? Sorry, I just dropped two quotes. Continue.
Also, I remember we had pre-engagement counseling for a little bit, like a couple months before we got
engaged. Yeah, you don't have to do that. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I totally recommend that too, especially after having those hard conversations. It's good to bring that up with an older couple
and almost say,
walk
like,
through it more.
Yeah, you guys shouldn't get married, or you guys should get married. Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to do that alone. I think especially with the hard stuff, you don't have to do it alone.
Yeah.
Great question. Maybe have some type of older, wiser people facilitate that or help that, and it's a huge, huge blessing. So let me look at the time. Yeah, it looks like we can maybe take one more question. Wes Bergeron says, what's the best way to handle transition in your 20s? That's a really good question, Wes.
The 20s are full of lots of transitions.
Yeah, but I think, I mean,
what would you say as a mid-20-year-old Jefferson?
Yeah, just in case... She thinks that's funny because I'm a couple years younger than her. But if you guys are wondering, I'm 25. I can rent a rental car with no fee. # holla at your boy. # Jeff and Alista. # what's up. But anyways, no, I would say, I don't know. And this might be just kind of more like a off the spectrum answer. But I just think that's just life. Just accept, almost welcome those transitions. Like 20s is your shaping period. 20s is not the time where, you know, hopefully your best fruit of your life is going to be lived. Hopefully that's going to be in your 30s, 40s, 50s. And you look at the life of Paul. He had 14 years basically away before he became the Paul that we know. You look at Moses, 40 years in the wilderness. You got all these different things. Like we need almost a season of quietness or a season of shaping or forming is what I'm trying to say. And so when transition happens in your 20s, I think it's that, or at least accepted as that, this is God shaping and molding and forming me into hopefully someone who's going to bear fruit at 40, 50, 60, 70, or whatever, and still bearing fruit today, but you know what I mean, like in like a life's work sense when you look back on it all. And so what I would say is how to handle that is just put it in perspective. Put the 20s in perspective, and that helps me a lot. Is, man, the 20s are, this is if I want to do more or go bigger or whatever. It's like, man, this is the shaping years. This is the foundational years. And I think just in our young culture where we can see on social media what everyone else is doing, and also we expect to just change the world when we're 18, whatever, we can sometimes skip the fact that that's not a natural rhythm of life, or that that most people, for the most part, God's in it for the long haul. And 20s is a beautiful time for him to use that and shape that. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's good.
What would you add, though?
I just add to... Like, I never do well with transitions. I don't know if a lot of people do. So it's hard. And I think that's okay.
Yeah, don't try to hide if it's hard.
Yeah, I think there will be times where you grieve the loss of seasons. And
don't cover that up, yeah.
Yeah, like work through that. But at the same time, I think they're really exciting. Like all the adventures you get to go mm-hmm. on, or new people you meet, or new things. And like God is really at work and doing things. So mm-hmm. it's exciting. And I think in my 20s, I've seen God just like blow me away with.
You're almost out of them, by the way.
I know. Just like so many dreams that have come true, or so many experiences totally. That I would never trade. But they've also had a lot of, you know, growing pains, mm-hmm. and it can be hard at times. So, but just constantly seeking the Lord and giving Him your desires and being open to wherever He leads you, and being thankful for each moment that you have, and I guess soaking it all up wherever you're at.
Yeah, I think being thankful is the huge part. To deal with transition, be thankful. Say, God has put me in this place at this time. He is providential in where He has me. And just be thankful. Yeah, thankfulness, I think, is the key to joy, a key to kind of finding that fulfillment in God's will for your life.
What's that one verse in Acts about?
I know, I was thinking about too, where He's appointed each day and time or whatever.
And place.
Yeah, I forget. I think it's like Acts 17 maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Someone tweet us, # Jeff and Alyssa. Right. But
that's really encouraging too.
Yeah, it's an amazing verse that talks exactly about that, that God has you, He sees it, He knows it, and He loves you. So if you're listening to this in a commute, on a workout, in a car, whatever it is, want to tell you guys that we love you guys. We can't believe you guys listen. That's such a huge blessing. And we want to end on that note too, to hopefully cultivate thankfulness by just dwelling and meditating on what Jesus has done for you today and this week. And His grace is so amazing. He knows you. He knows the hairs on your head. And He loves you so much, and we can be thankful for that. So we love you guys. Hit us up on the # Jeff and Alyssa on Twitter, and we will talk to you guys there. Talk to you later.